You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the Greyhound Racing Association requested that the High Court block the government's planned ban on the industry until next year, until a judicial review of the legislation was undertaken. The association's lawyers claim that the move by the government ignores improvements to the industry and the standard of welfare for greyhounds, and that the industry should have been consulted before the decision to ban greyhound racing was taken. I spoke to the University of Auckland's Marcelo Rodriguez Ferreira about whether or not the government was required to consult the association and industry, and whether or not the association's claims about welfare improvements are valid. To get us started, what exactly are the arguments made by the Greyhound Racing Association's lawyers?
Yeah, the argument that they're trying to make is that Cabinet and the government didn't consult properly with their organisation before and sort of taking steps to ensure the winding down of the industry. They argue that because legislation hasn't been enacted yet that allows for the winding down of the industry, any sort of move by Cabinet to announce this and to sort of indicate that it is going to happen has essentially wound down the industry in a de facto way, and they say that that's illegal.
Legally speaking, do these kind of arguments quantify the kind of need for judicial review? Are the government required to consult them?
No. And this is the sort of the folly of the argument. What's going on here essentially is an industry in its dying days basically throwing a Hail Mary pass to try and stop this from occurring. But the ship has already sort of sailed, so to speak. The way that these decisions were made is that Cabinet received advice and sort of made a decision about certain sort of aspects it was going to take to kind of start to prepare the industry for a transition. You can't really stop many industries sort of overnight, and greyhound racing is one of those. You've got to sort of make preparations for rehoming of greyhounds, for instance, and just allow for an industry to come to terms with the idea that the decision was made to sort of shut it down. Legislation will be prepared and sort of enacted in due course, but Cabinet was just making sort of political calls and sort of decisions to help assist with that process. In doing so, that has had the effect, sure, of fewer pups being born and sort of a winding down of that industry. But it's important to note that that was essentially a political decision and a call made by government. And those sorts of decisions do not invite the scrutiny of the courts. The courts really don't want to sort of get involved in what are essentially sort of political decision-making and political calls made by the highest body in government, Cabinet.
Lawyer Chris Finlayson has claimed that Aotearoa's greyhound welfare standards are high. What are these standards like at the moment, and does his claim have weight?
No. I mean, this is the thing. The substantive argument as to whether or not greyhound racing should continue in New Zealand is kind of beside the point. There have been sort of successive reviews of this industry over the last 20 years, each showing that it is an industry in decline, but also one that really doesn't seem to want to be engaged in holding high welfare standards. It has sort of really had many opportunities to sort of clean up its game and sort of reduce the impact upon greyhounds, both in terms of the impact on their welfare, but also sort of their homing and well-being generally, let alone the use of sort of illegal drugs that are sometimes used in this sport. And they just have failed to do so. They essentially just ran out of road after a while, and they had too many chances that they just basically failed to take up. And, I don't often agree with or sort of tend to sort of say that the Minister, Winston Peters, is the paragon of virtue here, but yeah, he made a very, very sensible and relatively sort of courageous decision to sort of call time on the industry and said that they had enough chances. So Finlayson's argument now, just to bring it back to your original point, Finlayson's argument now that we have very good safety standards or sort of the welfare concerns of greyhounds are taken into account is too little too late. Moreover, even if we have better sort of standards than across the world, that doesn't mean that we should sort of nevertheless permit it. It shouldn't be allowed anywhere, let alone New Zealand.
With the lawyer, the arguments made by the lawyers and Finlayson, they point to a sort of at least intent to kind of show progress. Is that also a valid argument, or is that kind of the same case?
Oh, look, we have consultations with groups that are affected by decisions all the time. Government will sort of talk about a project that they want to undertake. They'll consult with the relevant parts of the community, and then they'll make the final call. But a consultation isn't a negotiation. Just because you have opposing views and just because you think that your views are more important doesn't mean that they're the right ones. It doesn't mean that the government is bound to sort of follow a decision that sort of follows them. Greyhound Racing obviously think that their industry is fine and that it's improving, and that may well be true, but that can't bind the government's hands and can't prevent them from making the call here. It's a tough decision. It's a big decision. There's no doubt about that. But it's also sort of the right one. It's one based on sound evidence. And just because it's the one that the industry doesn't want them to make doesn't mean that it can't go ahead.
So on the topic of the ban itself, what sort of impact would either the halt in planning have or just the ban in general have on the welfare of greyhounds in New Zealand?
Yeah, it's a really tricky issue, hey, because obviously there are many, many greyhounds that exist in New Zealand and they're sort of still racing right now. And so any sort of ban needs to occur over a transitional period. And then that's what the government is sort of indicating is going to happen. It's going to be essentially a two-year winding down of the industry. That's largely to sort of protect the welfare of greyhounds, not to sort of prevent, essentially not to allow for their whole-scale euthanasia, for example. There's also sort of to protect the participants in the industry as well, to ensure that they have the capacity to sort of wind down. So say it's never easy to sort of shut an industry down like this. It can't happen overnight. But yeah, you want to take sort of steps to ensure that as many as possible greyhounds are rehomed and not simply sort of euthanized.
What is the case likely going to look like going forward over the next few months?
Well, this was an attempt to basically seek a declaration to stop the planning going on right now. It's ahead of a more formal hearing that's going to be occurring in early new year about the legality of these formal decisions. But the way that the proceedings took place last week is an indication that they're kind of sort of ill suited for that forum, and they may have to sort of rethink the strategy that they're taking, because I'm not predicting a particularly favourable or positive outcome from this particular instance. This is a relatively sort of complex issue, but at the end of the day, it just boils down to this, which is, this is obviously a big but political decision. Cabinet has the right to make it, and an industry that doesn't want it to go ahead really is throwing a last gasp attempt to try and stop it from going ahead.
That was the University of Auckland's Marcelo Rodriguez Ferreira on the Greyhound Racing Association's request to the High Court to block planning for the government's greyhound racing ban.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.